This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Some point to the possible impeachment of University of Texas Regent Wallace Hall and say it's actually a battle over the heart and soul of the University of Texas. Wallace Hall was appointed by Governor Rick Perry to be on the UT Board of Regents and has since been aggressive in asking for documents about the university's operations. State Representative Jim Pitts, a Republican of Waxahachie, says Hall has stepped over the line and he wants him impeached. There's an investigation underway right now. Are you a UT alumnus? Are you watching the events? Are you concerned about the future direction of your school? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and comment directly on our website at tpr.org. Joining us to tell us what's happening, and there's some developments today. Reeve Hamilton is a reporter for the TexasTribune.org, the online newspaper of Texas events, and has been covering this story since the very beginning. Reeve, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
So how unusual is it to impeach a regent at UT?
It is very unusual, and that might be putting it lightly. It's never really been done before. There have really only been two serious impeachments in the state's history. And those were both elected officials. One was a governor, one was a state judge. And this is the first time a non-elected official will have been impeached, if it in fact does reach that point, which we're still a long way off from.
Yeah, let's talk about that. This is an investigation into whether or not to have an impeachment, correct?
Correct. So right now they're sort of on a fact-finding mission. Today and tomorrow we'll be hearing from witnesses. They is a legislative committee made up of House members. And it is not clear if they will ultimately decide to recommend articles of impeachment or if they will decide that nothing rising to that level happened.
Has has Wallace Hall, has he kind of dug in his heels? He could resign and just say, I don't need this, and the whole thing would go away. Or is it like now we're entrenched? This is a battle over the future of UT, and so he's going to hang in there.
Right. Well, of course, the regent position is a volunteer position. It's a high honor, but it doesn't pay, and this is taking up a lot of his time and some of his personal finances since he's gotten his own personal lawyers to help him. But I think he's pretty dug in. He said he's not going away. He doesn't intend to stop what he's doing. He thinks he's fighting the good fight, if you take him at his word. And so he doesn't plan to be intimidated out of that, is the impression that he's given. So I don't think that it will reach an end where one side just throws up their hands and walks away. Ultimately, a final decision will have to be reached.
What is the issue? Who's bringing up the charges that Wallace Hall has stepped over the line? I hear the word, that Representative Jim Pitts is very active in this. Why?
Well, the issue, if you'll bear with me for a second, goes back to when Regent Hall was appointed. When he was appointed with a certain group of sort of regents with a new style, there was fear among the UT Austin community that they were going to take the flagship institution, the University of Texas at Austin, in a different direction that they didn't approve of. And so that created some controversy in 2011 that sort of continued. But a lot of those issues are on the back burner now, and now just the focus is Regent Hall specifically and his behavior in this whole thing. And there's a feeling, Representative Jim Pitts from Waxahachie expressed it today, that Hall may be on sort of a fishing expedition to find any reason he can to get rid of UT Austin's president, Bill Powers, in order to better enact the changes he would like to see at the university. There's a feeling that Powers is sort of a roadblock for some of the changes that the regents would like to see. And so that's where a lot of this comes in, is this feeling that Powers is under attack. Powers is very popular in the legislature and among alumni groups, and they don't want to see him go. In some ways, this is sort of an effort to prevent the president from being ousted.
Isn't Powers, didn't he already say he was leaving?
The last job, the athletic director did, but I don't think Powers has.
Okay.
In fact, today he was just named chair of the Association of American Universities, which is sort of this very elite group of the top research universities in the country. So he's, you'd imagine he'd stick around for at least another year.
So so Wallace Hall, using his authority as a regent, was requesting huge amounts of information, documents about the operations of UT, and some alleged that he was violating actually student privacy in doing that.
Right. So the committee that is meeting today and tomorrow is really looking at three charges. And like you said, one is that he sort of overstepped his bounds in sort of overzealous requests, because fulfilling such requests require time and money on the part of the staff. So the UT Austin's chief financial officer testified today that he's gone from one to two people in his office on a given day to seven people helping him fulfill the region's requests on a given day today. So that's one issue. The other issue is that he may have mishandled some private student data in his handling of these requests. You know, I think mostly in that he might have turned some of that information over to his lawyers. It's unclear if that's okay. And then there's also whether or not he disclosed enough information on his application to be a regent. And some lawmakers feel like he misled them by omitting some information. So those are the three specific issues that they're really looking at when they're considering whether or not to file articles of impeachment against Regent Hall.
So they don't have to say that he actually committed a crime.
Right. In fact, the statute in Texas is silent almost entirely on what they have to say he did at all. I mean, in the federal system, it's sort of high crimes and misdemeanors. Here, it's just sort of, you know, the committee decides and then the House agrees that his behavior warrants his removal from office, then he'll be impeached. There's no actual standard in the law. So, no, they don't have to prove that he broke any laws or committed any crimes. They just have to prove that his actions incorrect conduct in their analysis.
So how has Rick Perry been on this impeachment effort?
Rick Perry has been largely silent. There was a bill to rein in some of the region's power that passed the legislature this session, and he vetoed that. And that's about the strongest action he's taken publicly. I mean, behind the scenes, there are rumors that he's pressuring, different sides. The belief is that he's on the side of Hall and the regions that support Hall. And his emails have come to light of Perry encouraging them to continue in their efforts to look into UT Austin and to hang together as a group. So, I mean, he's clearly on that side, but publicly he's not talking about it too much. In fact, today he's off in Israel announcing a new branch campus for Texas A&M. You know, he's a proud Aggie, and he's more apt to talk about how great A&M is than to wade into UT stuff.
Yeah, but the UT conspiracy is that theory is that his A&M, he's trying to tear down UT to build up A&M. I don't know about that, but that's what the...
That is a theory that I hear often.
All right. Reeve Hamilton, thank you so much, reporter for the TexasTribune.org, continuing coverage on their website. We're going to continue our conversation about the impeachment of UT Regent Wallace Hall coming up on The Source. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about UT Austin, the flagship school of the University of Texas system. There is an ongoing investigation into possible impeachment of one of the regents of UT, Wallace Hall. And there's Rick Perry, his fingerprints are on trying to steer the school towards trying to become less dedicated to liberal arts and lofty investigations of intellectual pursuits as he tries to, and he's very concerned about the climbing tuition rate. And we want to hear from you. What do you think about what's happening to UT? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8255. 80980, 210-614-8980. We just wrapped up a conversation with Reeve Hamilton, a reporter at the Texas Tribune. And now we turn to Gordon Appleman. He is on the advisory council of the Liberal Arts College at UT, but we're going to be speaking today as he is a concerned alumnus, and he has sent out a letter talking about what he is fearing is actually going on at UT. So, Gordon, you there?
Yes, sir.
So tell me, what are your concerns about with the present problems over at UT? What's happening here?
Well, the overriding concern is the interference with the normal channels of governance. The idea that these regents, and it's not just Wallace Hall, it's also Gene Powell, Alex Kranberg, and Brenda Pavich, who are part of this movement to... Wesley said, micromanage, which is one of the terms used by the legislature when they adopted a resolution supporting President Powers and others. So it's governance, and it's also excellence. A lot of the talk of the programs that are advocated by this region group would damage, in our opinion, the excellent education and the academic standards of the University of Texas at Austin. And, in fact, all the higher education institutions in Texas, because there are similar movements at the other statewide institutions, for example, A&M. And so that's the overriding concern is the governance and the excellence.
You write in a letter that you sent out to UT alumni and administrators, faculty and students, that you are concerned that there is going to be at risk of serious, long-term, perhaps irreversible degradation of academic stature. Can you explain that?
Yes. That was written March the 14th of 2011 when we first became aware that this new group of regents was interested in pursuing a different course of action than what was typical and customary at the University of Texas system. The first thing that led us to that was the appointment, the details of which have never been explained, because there was presumably never a vote by the Board of Regents to hire Rick O'Donnell in the Chancellor's office. We called him the Shadow Chancellor because he didn't report to the Chancellor. He reported directly to the Chairman of the Board of Regents. And it appeared that his duties were that of the chancellor. So we called attention to that, and he was reassigned shortly after that and then ultimately terminated 6 weeks or 2 months later. But it was then that several of us who were concerned formed a Texas Coalition for Excellence in Higher Education to address the intentions expressed by these three new regents and Chairman Powell.
I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense that people who are on the board of trustees, the regents at UT, would want to do anything that would damage the school. Why would they want to degrade the quality of the education there?
Ask them.
I mean, but
we don't understand that either. It doesn't make any sense. It's contrary to the Constitution, which calls for the University of Texas to be a university of the first class. It's contrary to all standards of governance by there's a national organization, the Association of Governing Boards, that stated a bunch of principles concerning how to govern, and there's very little alignment with the conduct of these four regents with those kinds of standards. You know, you can speculate about why it is. The governor, Reeve has already mentioned the governor's intent being a former student of A&M, et cetera, and I don't know whether that's true or not. There's talk about that being part of his political campaign for the 2012, where he was going to be the education president and introduce a lot of cost cutting, which we thought carried with it a lot of excellence cutting, which is contrary to what our interests are.
Rick Perry has talked a lot about the $10,000 college degree, something that would be affordable for a lot of folks to get a degree in say, like engineering or something. But that's not something you could get at UT.
You can't get it hardly anywhere in the United States. at even at the online places like the University of Phoenix, you don't get $10,000 degrees. The only way, there have been some that have been advanced. Those usually involve a combination of some community college time, some accumulating credits out of high school in advanced programs, and then a much shortened higher education, four-year college or university, to end up getting a degree. But those numbers are just unrealistic for a Tier 1 university like the University of Texas at Austin. You just can't get there from here without sacrificing quality, both in the instruction in the classroom and in the kind of faculty that you can afford to retain and attract at the level that an AAU institution needs to continue.
So do you think that when Rick Perry, when he's promoting this idea of a $10,000 college degree, it shows you at the heart that he really doesn't get what a quality liberal arts education can do for society?
Well, that's probably part of it. Probably part of it is just to have an attractive talking point to the public, which a lot of people who are not that familiar with the economics of higher education, it sounds like a good idea, you know, and in the abstract, it is a great idea. A $5,000 degree would be better than a $10,000 degree. I don't know where he came up with the number 10,000.
The number to call is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you are an alumnus of UT or even Texas A&M, if you've got something to add to our conversation about what's happening with this impeachment issue with Wallace Hall, he's a Texas regent, please call in or email to TPR, to the source at tpr.org. If Wallace Hall is impeached, was that actually going to change anything with all these issues that you're talking about?
Well, it's one less strong, zealous advocate for that particular program. The problem is that as long as the governor is in office, he gets to appoint and fill vacancies. And so he would have the opportunity to fill that vacancy without the consent of the Senate nominating committee because the legislature's in recess now. We're guessing about what kind of a vacancy it is, but certainly Hall is not our first choice.
All right, now let's go to the phones. Chris is on the line. Chris, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Hi, yes, I have a question for your current guest and sort of an observation. I'm an alumni from UT, and I'd say it's sort of traditionally UT is considered, you know, one of the liberal universities in Texas, or maybe the liberal university, and I wonder how much of this effort has to do with dismantling what Perry and his cronies on the Board of Regents see as, a part of the liberal culture of the University of Texas.
All right, Chris, great question. Thanks, sir. Gordon, what do you think?
Well, I don't know what drives them. I do know that Governor Perry and the Texas Public Policy Foundation, which is the organization that's backing these four regents, one of the regents, Brenda Pavich, is on the board there. And Jeff Sandifer, who's the principal over there, has written some materials. But I don't know. That the liberality of the faculty has – I can't recall that being an expressed factor in this. There hasn't been as there were. You know, there's been two situations like this previously. One was when Homer Rainey was fired back in the early 40s, and once way back in the early teens when the philosophy, the teaching philosophy or political philosophy of the faculty was the key issue. That may be part of this, I don't know, but it's more to do with a change in philosophy about the economics of a university. And so I don't know about the philosophy.
Okay, if it's attack on liberalism or not.
I wouldn't be surprised if that were part of it.
We don't know. Okay, so let's get another caller on the air. Reva. Reva's called in. Reva, welcome to The Source.
It's Reva, but that's okay. Close enough. Hi. I wanted to say that I've been really surprised since I moved to Texas 20 years ago that it's a very anti-intellectual state. And I think that I went to one of those colleges back east. But I think that there's a missing idea about what a top quality university is supposed to do. A good liberal arts education teaches people how to think. And there's been a refocusing on the notion of a series of facts that, you know, if you learn all these and regurgitate all these, you'll be prepared for the economics of this particular moment. But the point of an education is to teach the next generation how to think and analyze so they can dig us out of whatever kind of, you know, unforeseen future we actually enter. And I think that part of this notion of a $10,000 degree is to just focus on, like, turning young people into another cog that is needed right in this moment. But you can't actually learn to be intellectually sophisticated enough to address the future without a broad base. And that's what we are afraid will be given up.
All right. Thanks for that call. And any reaction to that, Mr. Gordon?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. There is an undercurrent of anti-elitism misapplied in this situation. Some of the conversation has been directed to that. Certainly, to the extent that the liberal arts are affected, and there's been some talk about withdrawing some support, particularly from research in the liberal arts. But that is one of the fears that is held, and there is a increasing talk about a trade school philosophy, which is,
right,
I think, what your caller referred to.
By turning these schools, the universities, into so people can learn skills, they can go out in the world and do things.
Right. And that detracts from what our caller correctly pointed to, which is the fact that most people these days, unlike years ago, change jobs many times during their life, and the ability to think and adapt to those, the changing circumstances and the changing conditions in the job market, isn't taught as much in those other fields.
Got it.
Not to say
Gordon Hamilton. He is speaking. He's a concerned alumnus for UT Austin, concerned about what's happening there on the board. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We'll continue after this NPR news break.